I'm Sharon Brett Kelly. Today on The Detail, Shortland Street is not afraid of killing off its much-loved characters. But does TVNZ dare to kill off the soap? It's been weeks since that cliffhanger tore at the heartstrings of its followers, but still no news on the fate of the 32-year-old series. So what is it about this show that inspires so much passion, loyalty, angst? Today, three very familiar voices, a Shorty Street star whose character was killed off but has re-emerged behind the scenes, a fan who scored a cameo role.
I must confess I did have a role on it once.
Anna! And another fan who worries about the gap it would leave in her life.
You know, I need to start doing serious things at 7 o'clock instead of waiting till 7:30.
What's on at 7:30?
No, nothing. My life. Oh, you know, my evening. You know, read a book.
Oh, no.
Listen to it. But Shortland Street is just the pudding.
Yeah.
The pudding of my day.
Plus, spoiler alert, Kim Hill will reveal her blockbuster plot idea for Shorty.
There's this beautiful moment when it's just like the bliss point when everything comes together, the script, the performer, you know, if you're on stage, the audience, if you're in a television studio, the cameras, there's this wonderful sort of symphony that happens and you just feel it. And I have the same thing as a director when all those things happen.
Jack Nairn is talking about the switch from her role as Nurse Wendy Cooper to director. And a warning, there is a mention of suicide.
I just love that feeling of when it all comes together so beautifully and tells a story in a magical way.
Well, that's amazing. And so you were one of the first woman directors?
No, not the first. No, not by a long stretch. But at that time, it was fairly weighted towards men in the directing team. So I think SPP were very aware of that and wanted to kind of right the balance. So basically, I've been directing ever since at Shorty and Brokenwood.
It's such a success story, Brokenwood.
Brokenwood shows in 150 countries. It's extraordinary. Ah. So it's just the reach of that show is huge. Mm. And of Shorty as well. I mean, and particularly in this country, you know, Shorty, I love the kind of 2 degrees of separation that everyone has with Shortland Street. So everyone knows someone who knows someone who's been on the show, or someone's auntie's cousin's brother worked on the show or met such and such. And I love that New Zealand has a show like that where that's kind of owned by everybody, you know, where everyone has a sense of ownership about
Did Shorty. You have a say in Nurse Wendy's death?
No. I remember that day very clearly. I mean, the families have a cycle on the show, and I remember Alison Quegan saying to me when I first arrived, because hers was the family that was starting to leave as my family came in, and she said, you know, when all the kids decide they want to go to Hollywood, she said that's when the family will be moved out and another one will come in. And I thought, oh yeah, well, of course, I had KJ Arpa as my foster son.
Oh.
Who's... So that kind of came true.
So you finally decided to show up?
Yep.
You been to the hospital to see Mum?
The social worker has only just dropped him off. I don't think he's had time yet.
Well, I'm not going anyway. What's the point?
She's on life support, Kane. Once they pull the plug, she'll be gone forever. This is your last chance to see her. Doesn't that mean anything to you?
But the way that Simon, the producer, phrased it to me at the time, he just said, look, she's going to go out a hero. Like, you know, this, it's going to be huge. If it makes you feel any better, we only make cliffhangers of the people we love because it makes such an impact. And even I was shocked at the impact that it did have.
And it's been so many years.
I know, 8 years. So January 2016, she was shot through the heart. That was that cliffhanger. And so, yeah, I've been directing now longer than I was acting
right.
On the show. Yeah.
But a little bird tells me that that Nurse Wendy, that you were long dead mm-hmm. when you went to Fiji
yes.
for a little trip
yes.
and you got absolutely mobbed by the crowds.
I went to Fiji for Heart Kids. You know, my job was to kind of just be there for publicity to help raise the awareness of what Starship do. Like the paediatric heart surgeon and her team, they go to Fiji every year. They operate on 15 kids, I think it is. They're the people that are doing the real stuff. So there's nothing that makes an actor feel more inadequate than actually seeing a real heart surgeon, you know. And the staff room at the hospital in Fiji was very different to our staff room at Shortland Street. So, you know, like no one talks. Everyone's concentrating on the operation they've got that day because they just operate on kid after kid after kid. And the bizarre thing to me was walking along a corridor and all these people came running towards me as the actual surgeon who's saving the actual lives walks past that way. And I just was... She's the hero. Like, I'm just on a TV show.
Do you still get recognised here in New Zealand?
Yes.
And what do people do?
Well, funnily enough, I just went to have a mammogram yesterday. I'm an ambassador for the Breast Cancer Foundation. And so get your mammograms. It's May, so, you know, and also just get them. And when I was coming out, a woman was walking down the street and she was like, I know you. She said, you're the nurse. And I was like, well, she's been dead a while, but yes, I'm Jackie, and please go and have a mammogram. So,
but you're incredibly influential then.
Yeah, and it's, and you know, like, I think we can never underestimate the importance of the stories that we tell. And one in particular during my time on the show, and trigger warning, it is about suicide, but Kane, who was played by KJ Arpa, we had a suicide storyline with him, and the producers and the writers and everyone at SPP was so determined to tell that story with the integrity that it deserved. We had lots of people come in and talk to us, and every line was gone over with a microscope to make sure that we had it absolutely right. And we did this storyline, and it was incredibly difficult to film. It was horrible to film, but it was, we were so looked after. And it's sort of 8 weeks later when it aired, I was at the supermarket and this woman came up to me and she said, you're Jackie, you play Wendy. And I said, yes. And she said, I just have to tell you that that storyline saved my son's life. And, you know, she said that that discussion that you guys had with Kane on air, that was his character's name, allowed us to have that conversation with our child because we knew he was struggling. And there are no words for that, you know. So it made me just appreciate all over again the reach of Shorty and the power of storytelling and the importance of seeing stories, our stories on television.
Then, you know, people must be wondering, why is its future so uncertain? I mean, if it's still got a big online audience, I think people really grapple with trying to understand that.
Who knows what the future holds? Obviously, everyone knows that SPP is in talks with TVNZ. That's no secret.
You haven't heard anything?
No, that's above my pay grade. I mean, linear audiences are still strong, but there is a huge migration to digital. So how do we do that? How does Shortland Street move forward with that? And that's what they're trying to work out at the moment.
They needed a marriage celebrant.
Journalist Anna Thomas first fell in love with Shorty as a new presenter on Fair Go when she met some of the legends.
Kevi, Milne and myself flew up for Fair Go, and there was all the crew, this new crew from Shortland Street. And so it kind of started from there because I was interested to see, you know, how these guys developed and to have our very own soap opera, you know, instead of, you know, watching the Australian soap operas at the time or the English ones.
Who was in that crew? Do you remember?
Martin Henderson, Angela Bloomfield, Michael Galvin. So of course, you know, names like Martin Henderson and, of course, Timuera Morrison, you know, they've all gone on to do great things. And that's another part of my interest in the show is the watching that the young talent, and this really is it's a training ground for them to see how they develop. When they first start, you think, oh, okay, you need a little bit of work
ropey
here. Yeah, a little bit ropey. You could do with a little bit of direction there. And they get it. So they get it from these really experienced directors who are on the ground telling them, oh, you know, you act this way and act that way. And they go on to, KJ Arpa is another great example. If you look at the, you know, his first scene on Shortland Street, it was a little bit painful.
And you couldn't even return my calls.
I'm here now, aren't I?
Yeah, a bit late. Been through major hell all on my own.
We're always on our own. Both of us. What's new?
I needed you. That's what, you selfish bitch.
Get over yourself. Can you remember what I'm saying now?
No, I will.
Yeah, fine by me.
But look at him now. Yeah. You know, he's blossomed. And so that's, you know, that's not just a training ground for actors, but also for those people behind the scene who are nurturing them and nurturing this talent. And then, of course, they're training other directors, assistant directors and you know, the lighting people. And so it's just such an important vehicle for our cast and our crew.
What about the plots themselves, the storylines?
Well, I think personally it reflects our society. So I'm in the daily news grind, and it does provide a little bit of light relief for me to, you know, to go home or catch up a couple of days later and watch it on demand and see how they have dealt with an issue. And you know, more often than not, this is, you know, life imitates art. They tackled the pandemic before it hit. They've dealt with things like cultural diversity. They've dealt with big pharma addictions, you know, same-sex couples, corruption. They discuss the issues of the day in a way in which I think Kiwis can relate to.
Just going back to your important role as the marriage celebrant. Did they ask you back?
They haven't yet, funny enough. Yeah. Hmm. But I'm available.
Okay. Note to the Shortland Street producers. What about characters? Did you have some favourite characters over the years?
Well, I think and he's still there, Michael Galvin. So, yeah. You know, Chris Warner, I think.
Why?
He's good.
Why was he so appealing?
Well, I think because, you know, it's that familiar face. You know, as I said before, when I get home or when I turn it on, it's just, I don't have to think about anything. It's my downtime. It's like putting on a pair of slippers. It's really familiar. It's you, and you get to know the characters, and again, you get to see them develop, and you get to some of the script writers, honestly, not enough credit is given to some of the script writers. Some of them, just hilarious. Sarah Kate Lynch. I mean, you can often tell what she has written, you know, in the past.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, really, really clever, and various others as well.
Yeah.
And some of the characters, there was a guy called Damo who was a very eccentric character. He's not in it at the moment.
It's freezing. Why is it so cold?
Damo, for goodness sake, you're heading the wrong way.
Am I? I don't know which way I'm heading.
The other point I want to make too is it reflects society. So this is a program that, so you walk into a hospital, any hospital in New Zealand, and you will see doctors and nurses and staff from all walks of life. And so Shortland Street also reflects that. They reflect that, you know, the diversity of New Zealanders. Of course, Tim Morrison was one of their first Māori doctors.
Yeah.
But they have brought more and more young doctors from different ethnicities into the program as well, and nurses. And it's so important that those roles, that people at home can see those roles. Māori and Pacifica can see themselves reflected back. There's a Facebook page for fans of Shortland Street. And it's really interesting. I find it, I never, of course, you know, add to it because I don't want to go down that hole. But it's really interesting to watch it and watch the comments that come up when an issue is discussed because, you know, it's like talkback. You're getting an idea of what people are thinking.
It's a mystery, isn't it? You know, soap operas are always a mystery because they're so bonkers.
Yes, RNZ presenter Kim Hill is a big fan.
It requires such a huge suspension of disbelief. You know, the plots are sometimes quite mad. And how come they have the most intimate conversations gathered around reception in the waiting room and always go to the same place for dinner or a drink? And mostly all seem to live in the same apartment block. And how long can Chris Warner go on for, you know, the Ken Barlow of New Zealand television? He's now going through this ungroomed, inarticulate breakdown, understandable given the discovery that his son was not only a murderer, but not even a qualified doctor. I mean, so on and so forth. You just think, this is insane. But, and yet, for some reason, it's human. They're human. They're all flawed human beings. Except Monique. who's, you know, a saint.
Is she your favourite character?
Monique, I think she is at the moment. But they always put up somebody who's your favourite character and then they turn them into a mass murderer philosophy.
Yeah, but it's kind of interesting because Anna Thomas, I've been talking to her about it, and she says that, you know, it is a case of art imitating life. Well, not what, the other way around, life what imitating art. Yeah, life
it's
imitating art.
Amazingly ahead of its time. Is that what she said?
Yeah, exactly. Like what? Its coverage of a pandemic.
Also, it was way ahead of its time on the trans issue. You know, they had this great character called Blue.
See you. I hope not.
Blue? He's actually a really nice guy. He's a freak show. He keeps looking at me and trying to talk to me.
It's probably because you two have more in common than you realise.
Huh?
Stan is transgender.
He told you that?
Yeah.
Loads of serious issues. It's quite out there. And it does it in a relatively responsible way. I quite admire it for that.
And have you had a favourite storyline, or are there too many to single
too
out one?
Too many. Yeah. Nah. Let me think. No. I think Boyd is a really good character because he, you know, he went away and then he came back and he had all this, he cheated on his wife and, I mean, you know, it's, you think you know a character and then they develop these secret personalities and then you think, yeah, I could see that all along, you know. Or they have really weird characters that turn out to be wonderful. The only other person I know, I didn't know Anna Thomas was a fan, the only other person I know who watches Shortland Street is my daughter, and she's sporadic. And every so often she says to me, what happened to Monique, or will Damo come back? We want Damo to come back, you know.
So you've got nobody that you can have, you know, long conversations with about it?
No. It's a secret life, really.
Have you got a favourite actor to come out of Shortland Street? I mean, there are so many famous people in it, but I'm thinking Joel Tobeck, because you did confess when you interviewed him a while ago that you actually kissed him.
I did. I mistook him, actually, more to the point. Because I'd obviously seen him in Shortland Street, I rushed up to him one night, I confessed this to him, at downstage, at the bar, and embraced him because I thought I knew him. I mean, that's one of the more embarrassing episodes of my life. Of course, there's Robin Malcolm, who has to be the most stellar character to come out of Shortland Street. She's gone on to do such fantastic, fantastic things. And she was Nurse. Nurse who? Can't remember.
I can't help you because I don't watch it. I'm afraid it's terrible.
No, it's not terrible. It's just not terrible. It's unfortunate because you'll never catch up.
No.
You can't.
Well, actually, if I started watching Shorty Street 24 hours a day, we've worked out it will take me roughly 3 weeks to catch up on the nearly 8,000 episodes. And do you still watch at 7 o'clock every night?
Yes. No. I am a tragic. I do.
Sit down with your dinner and watch it.
Oh God! No, dinner time's way earlier than that these days. It's not as if I watched it online at a time of my choosing, I would never get around to it.
Mm.
But because it is on there at 7 o'clock, then I watch it as a sort of transitional moment of my day. That's what happens.
But do you think it's done its dash?
Oh, Lord. I mean, every 6 months you think, how can they keep going? But they do. And I don't really think it's done its dash. I mean, viewing figures are an issue. because, as you say, there are so many other things and nobody watches on the real television anymore. But it's the last bastion of I don't know, a society that joins around the fire of communal viewing, to mix the metaphor. I'd be terribly sad if it went.
Does it?
But, you know, Chris Warner can't be forever.
No. And what if he goes? Can it carry on?
It's hard to say, isn't it? I mean, what if William Roach dies? Can Coro carry on? I don't even know whether he's still in, since I've watched Coronation Street.
And do you get more from it than, you know, the entertainment and the great storylines and the things, the actors that keep you hooked? I mean, what I'm trying to say, I suppose, is do you think about what it means for New Zealand and for society?
No. It's a soap opera.
I know.
No, I do take your point. I mean, I think, as I say, it's a kind of a communal, even people who don't watch it know about it and like it because it's ours. It's ours. It's like Neighbours in Australia or Coronation Street or EastEnders in the UK, except they're a very small country. So it's even more ours than theirs is theirs. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
And the characters are, I was going to say recognisable, sort of vaguely recognisable, aren't they, really? Okay. No, I'm talking to you. You've never seen it.
Well, have that's right. I can't have that discussion with you. I should link you up with Anna Thomas.
You would have done a bit of research before embarking upon this interview.
Well, I am interviewing Nurse Wendy, a.k.a. Jack Nairn, because she's. I mean, this is the other key thing, is that she, it's been so great for people's careers because she's gone from being Nurse Wendy to being a director on it.
Yep. But, you know, do they feel typecast? Does Chris Warner feel typecast now? Is he happy? You should talk to Chris Warner, you know. He's going through a very interesting stage. He's grown a beard and become reclusive on account of the fact that his son turned out not to be a real doctor but also a murderer. And he's had very bad luck with his family, basically. Dr. Love, they used to call him, but, you know, he looks like a homeless person at the moment.
Oh.
But they drag him in to do important operations because nobody else can do them like he can.
When you think about it, though, you know, the amount of good New Zealand drama at the moment, like I'm thinking of...
After the Party, Robin Malcolm. Oh,
there seems to be so much good New Zealand drama. Do we really need Shortland Street anymore?
It's not what you would describe as good New Zealand drama. It's a soap opera. It's a whole different thing. It's on every damn night for the rest of your life. Do you know what I mean? It's like potatoes. You just have it and you'd miss it if it wasn't there.
But Kim Hill has a storyline idea that may well not have been used yet.
I've become very taken with survival stories for some reason. I watched the latest movie about that Uruguayan football team that came down in the Andes in 1972, was stuck in the Andes for 70-odd days and they had to eat each other.
Yeah.
And it's a plot that Shortland Street hasn't quite explored yet.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask Jack Nairn about that and see if they might be considering it.
Well, sometimes you think, good Lord, they've done everything. Where else can they go? You know, they've done the murder and the black. Cannibalism is something that they haven't yet broached. As far as I know, I might have missed that episode.
Wow. Really?
And yes.
Possible storyline?
Wow, well, maybe she could be.
See what Ollie says.
She could be our answer to the Dharma, the Jeffrey Dahmer series. Maybe she's the cannibal. Yeah.
no cliffhanger from me, but that's it for today. The Detail is supported by RNZ and NZ On Air. This episode was engineered by Alex Harmer and produced by Alexia Russell. Thanks to Jack Nairn, Anna Thomas and Kim Hill. I'm Sharon Brett Kelly. Ka kite anō.